Guys, it is Christmas. Yeah. Duh, yeah. Is anyone else excited for Christmas? Yeah. Nope. Yeah. Christmas. Do you guys have Christmas family traditions that you guys do each year? Yeah? What are some traditions? Shout them out. White elephant, Christmas tree ornaments, elf on a shelf, lighting the menorah, all those things. Christmas traditions. I want to tell you about a tradition that my family did every year growing up. Every year, my entire extended family would gather together and we'd have a Christmas celebration probably around Christmas Eve. And we would always read the Christmas story in Scripture. My grandfather, who has he has played the voice of God in movies, would read the story, and it's unbelievable. And we would all dress up. So here are a couple pictures of me. I was always a shepherd. We would always get in. This is actually at a Christmas concert. But actually there I was Joseph with little Mary there. And we were not dating at that point. But so got to dress up for that. This is with my family. This is, I'm a little shepherd boy. This is my cousin Landon, who actually used to be a leader with us. That's her with baby Jesus. My brother is the angel. And we would all gather together. All the kids would be shepherds. And then every year, my dad and my uncles would come in as the wise men, dressed in robes and lampshades for hats and crazy looking things. We just kind of threw it together and we celebrated the Christmas story as a family. So today, as we gather as Awake family, we're going to read the Christmas story together. And we're going to celebrate the goodness of God, who we're going to learn about today, Emmanuel. So, guys, just listen along. I'm going to read first in Luke 2, and then I'm going to go back to Matthew and read a little bit more. So, it starts off like this, Luke 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them at the inn. Here we go. Our Mary, there they come, Mary and Joseph coming down, great with child. There they are. Kind of look like gothic Joseph, but that's fine. That's great. Hello, guys. Great with child. Do you have a child? He's just been born. Do we have a child? No child. We got to hold something. Here's your child. Enjoy him. Yes. This little baby. Here he is. So they have this child. They wrap him in swaddling clothes and lay him. You have a child? We don't need this thing. Come on in, child. Look at that. Oh, he's so sweet. You need to caress him, Father Joseph. Okay. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Shepherds? Shepherds, are you watching? Ah, shepherd? Shepherd? Oh, the flock comes. Here they come. Come on. Come on, shepherd boys. So there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night with the fishing pole. Classic. Come on in, shepherds. Some sheep, a cow, a bull. This is good. The whole sacrificial system is right here with us. This is awesome. So they're out there keeping watch by night, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were filled with fear. Angel? And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger."
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, you are the host. You're praising God. Here we go. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And when the angel went away from them into the heavens, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Going back to Matthew 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Wise men, are you ready? You're up. Wow. Come on out, wise men from the east. Here they come. Such amazing men. And behold, the star, come on over here, wise men. Behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with joy. Going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Not sat down, they fell down. Do you guys know the story? Oh. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold Shasta, frankincense Shasta, and myrrh Shasta. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the story of Christmas. This is the manger scene that we all know. Give it up, a round of applause for all of our actors. The story of Christmas. Go get them, guys. Awesome job. I feel like we should sing and pray and just leave. That was unbelievably thrown together. But that's what my family did every year, is we would all gather together, and we got so excited, and we wanted to play these parts. We got excited because every year we'd hear this story, and we'd have fun with it, because this is an amazing time of year that we get to celebrate. And here's the thing, guys. You all know the story of Christmas, but do you know the child? You all know the story that we just read, but do you know the baby in the manger? Not just of him, not just the story that was foretold of him. Do you know him? Who is this Jesus that it talks about in the scripture? Who is Jesus that we celebrate this every year, the birth of this child? Who is this child that we sing songs about? Guys, we just sang, for our worship, we sang Christmas songs. Those are the same songs you're going to hear in malls across the country, that you're going to hear in stores that you're in all throughout this season. You're going to hear it on the radio. We just sang that as worship. We just proclaimed who God was in these songs. And before we move on any further, I want to show you what these songs said, what it is that you said. You said, we sang Joy to the World. We said, the Lord has come. We called him King. We sang at the end that Christ has come. Christ has come. Then the next song, we said that he is Emmanuel. And you heard Hayden say, God with us. We said that he is the light of the world, and he deserves glory. We are to glory the light of the world. You sang this. We said that he is Messiah, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel again, light of the world, over and over. He is King, Messiah, Emmanuel. We called him the Son of God. In Silent Night, we said that he is Jesus, not just Lord, but Lord at thy birth. Right when he came in, he is Lord. And the Savior has been born. And we sang at the end, oh, come, come, Emmanuel. Oh, come, God, the Savior, the King, the Messiah. We know the story, but do we know the baby that these songs sing about, that the scriptures speak of all through the Old Testament, that changed history, that the dates changed from BC to AD, that the whole world stopped and it was different because of this child? Do you know him? Do you know what the scriptures say of him? Not just at Christmas, but for the rest of his life. Because here's the deal, guys. This little child that you see born in a manger grows up to be a man. And his name is Jesus. And he came, as Hayden said, to save the world. Not just to come and be born to have songs sung of him, but he came to die. He came to give of himself. And so many people are going to have different things to say of who Jesus is. They're going to say he was a good man. They're going to say he's a good teacher. They're going to say he was just a great guy that we now have Santa because of. They're going to say he was a fake. They're going to say he was a liar. They're going to say that he's a fraud. But I'm going to show you that the scriptures say that he is God. And so who is Jesus? This morning we're going to look at it. We're going to look at what the Bible says. And guys, you have to deal with this. You have to look at who Jesus is. This isn't what your parents say Jesus is. This isn't what I say Jesus is. This isn't what your small group leader says Jesus is, or anybody around you. Someday you're going to have to stand before God. And the thing that's going to matter is the answer to the question, do you know him? Not just of him, but do you know him? We sang and proclaimed these excellencies of our God. Do you believe it? And so this morning, I want to show you what the scripture says. So the first one, we're going to open up to Matthew verse 1. But I want you to know that the Bible says that Jesus is God. All over scripture, the Bible says that Jesus is God. We're not making this up. We're not trying to make it sound better than it is. That is what the scriptures say. Do you believe it? Do you take God for what he says? It says that Jesus is God. And we say Jesus Christ. Christ is not a last name. Mr. Christ, are you here? It's not like a roll call and that's Jesus. Jesus was a very common name back in the days that he walked. It was like there are a lot of guys named John or Bartholomew. We got a lot of Bartholomews in here. Not many Bartholomews. But Jesus, it is a title. Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the awaited one, the one that we are hoping will bring salvation from the world that we live in. Jesus the Christ, the Bible says, he is God. So we're going to start out in Matthew 1. And it says in verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. You probably recognize this verse because Hayden quoted it right before we sang, O come, Emmanuel. It's a quote from Isaiah 7:14. Matthew, who was one of the disciples with Jesus, when he is writing to the Jewish people, he tells them of a passage that they know very well because all of Israel is waiting for this king, this son, this Messiah to come. Because Emmanuel, it says right there, it means God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. This is the same language, guys, that this is why the entire Bible is important. Sometimes it seems easier to read the New Testament. You're like, the Old Testament, it's there. I know it's there, and I'll deal with it maybe someday. But guys, the Old Testament is so important so that you understand the New Testament. All throughout the Old Testament, but especially in Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and going forward, you see that God is with his people, Israel. If you've read those, we've been in the journey through the entire Bible, and early in the year, in Exodus and Numbers, you see that God hovers as a cloud in the day with his people over the tabernacle, leading them from Egypt. He is with them. And it's the same language that Matthew uses here, that God has come to be with us. This is the long-awaited one that is here. He is Emmanuel, and he is with us. And guys, what's crazy is the Israelites, the Jews, they missed it. Because they hear this prophecy all in the Old Testament of this man who's coming, a savior, someone who will redeem his people. And they expected what they wanted, what they thought it should be, what they thought they needed, and God had something incredibly different in mind. They expected a conquering king that the scriptures talk about. And he is a conquering king, but he came humbly. In the scene that you saw, he came as a child, a little baby boy. Do you think some great king, some great God would come in the form of a tiny baby? Most people would say no, but that's exactly what God decided to do, because he is God with us, God who came to dwell among us, God who became one of us in the form of his son Jesus, fully God, fully man. It's a hard theological principle to understand, but he had to be fully man to be the second Adam, the Adam that could redeem Adam, the one who sinned initially and brought sin into the world. He is the new Adam that did not sin and defeated sin, and he had to be fully God so that he could pay the penalty of the judgment that we receive and take our sin from us so that he could satisfy the wrath of God. This is our King, Emmanuel. Guys, you know, because I've shown you many pictures, I had a little baby boy recently. And here's some pictures of us in the hospital. Here he is, just this tiny little kid. Guys, this is how God came. If you look at stories, mythological stories that people are making up of all of these gods where God comes and interacts with humans, he's huge, he's mighty, he's magnificent, he's Hercules and muscular and like ripped and jacked and like so hot, right? Ladies, am I right? He's like the best thing that ever been, but God in his kindness and grace and sovereign plan came as a child. Innocent, weak, just as we do into the world. And guys, we just heard the account that people came to look at him. Here are my nephews coming to see this child. When someone's born, people gather. And you can see my whole family, just their legs, because we're all tall. They're all there, and they're excited for this child to come. And then in this next picture, they kiss him. But it's a sweet picture of this scene that we just saw. That this isn't just a normal child. When they saw this God-man, the people in that room fell on their face and they worshiped him. This is God who came in the frail, weak-seeming image of a child so that he could walk just as we walked. He came as a lamb to be prepared to suffer and die. Guys, the Bible says that Jesus is God. Many people will look at this and say, no way God would do that. And no way he would unless he loved you. So what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say of this tiny child that grew up to be a man that changed history forever? I want to show you so you can deal with it. We're going to look at a couple verses here. If you're taking notes, write them down. Because here's the thing, some people, even today, even though the scriptures say it, they will say, no, Jesus didn't claim to be God. Jesus never said that. He never meant to say that. He never implied that. That is not the truth, and the scriptures show it. The first one's John 10:30. These are Jesus' words, and he says, I and the Father are one. Not like, hey, I'm kind of like the Father, or I have a lot of the same qualities. He says, me and God, me and the Father, Jehovah Jireh, we're the same. I am God, he says. This is Jesus. Another one he says is John 14:6-7. A lot of these you're going to recognize. Jesus said to him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He then goes on to say, if you'd know me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. We've looked at this in other places in Scripture. It says that Jesus is God made flesh. He is the invisible made visible so that we can see God. And Jesus claims this himself. I'm it. If you want access to God, it's through me. I am God. I am a part of the Trinity. No one comes to the Father except through me. Those are bold claims. The next one, John 8:58. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham, I was. Again, knowing the Old Testament is so key here, because if you remember in the story of God talking to Moses in the burning bush, Jesus reveals himself to Moses in a new name. He says that I am Yahweh. And it's the same thing that Jesus says here, the same language that God uses of himself that all of Israel and the Jewish people know very well. He says, that's me. I am Yahweh here for you. Come to dwell among you. Another one, this isn't Jesus talking, but this is how John, in the Gospel of John, the fourth gospel, he introduces Jesus in John 1:1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it goes to verse 14, and it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, like we said, and we have seen his glory, the glory that we just sang of, that the light of the world has come. The Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is what Jesus says of himself. This is what Scripture says of who Jesus is. This tiny little baby changed history forever because he is Lord. He is God. But guys, there are people out there who do not say that. I want to show you a couple ways that people may combat that so that you are prepared. Some people first will say that he's a liar. They'll say, I've read those accounts or I hear what these crazy Christians say, but there's no way. He's a liar. He knew he was a fraud. He was power hungry. He wanted people to see him. He made these crazy claims, but he was just trying to seek attention. He was a liar. Even the Pharisees and Sadducees said this. In Mark, at the end of the book of Mark, you see when Jesus is on trial, it says, they ask him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And the high priest, they said, what else do you need? This is blasphemy. He's a liar. Send him to death. And guys, it all is a fraud and a fake and a lie if it wasn't for the resurrection. There are many people who have walked the earth and said, I'm God, said that I'm the Messiah, said that I'm God's gift to the earth, but they all died. They all don't exist anymore. Jesus died, submitted himself to death, rose again on the third day. And people saw him. He resurrected and he is alive today and he is worthy of our praise. He even says, I'm that guy. Send me to death if you have to. But I am God and I will come back to judge the living and the dead. Another thing people will say is that all of his followers were liars. All of these things that they wrote of him afterward, they're just creating this legend of Jesus. None of this actually happened. They're just trying to get attention themselves. But guys, if that were the truth, why would the gospel writers depict such reality of Jesus not being born in this mansion of a hospital room like my son was, but in a barn, not treated like royalty? And then he grows up to be made fun of and ridiculed, not worshiped. And then after he leaves the earth, he dies and resurrects, many of his disciples even submit themselves to death because they believe this is true. Why would all of that happen if it was all made up? Other people will say that he was crazy, that he's a lunatic, that he just believed that he was God, but there's no way that he was really God. Even his own family, if you will read the Gospels, say, hey, Jesus, you're nuts. When he goes to his hometown, they're like, you got to get out of here. You can't stay here. You're making us look bad. But Jesus still said, hey, I'm God. I am the Christ. I am the one you have waited for. And a lot of people missed it. C.S. Lewis, have you guys heard of him? C.S. Lewis wrote some books that are very popular, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, The Chronicles of Narnia, all of these things. C.S. Lewis also writes some very deep theology. If you're looking for something to read, I would challenge you to read C.S. Lewis. It's amazing truth that he takes from his word, takes from God's word. And there's a quote that he says about this idea. He says, I'm trying here to prevent anyone from saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Jesus Christ. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That's one thing we must not say, C.S. Lewis says. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He'd either be a lunatic, like a guy who says he's a Lamborghini. Hey, look, it's me. I'm a car. He'd be nuts. Or else he'd be the devil of hell, and you must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him. You can kill him as a demon. Or you can fall at his feet and you can call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with this nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He's not left that option open to us, and he didn't intend to. Many people will say he was a good man. Many other religions will say, oh yeah, Jesus, what a great guy, a prophet, such an amazing man. But C.S. Lewis says, hey, he is either God or he's nuts. And guys, you have to decide that. You have to be able to point people to the scriptures and say, hey, can I tell you of this amazing gift that God gave of his son Jesus, who is God, who is Lord? But you've got to first believe that. And so what C.S. Lewis said and what the things that we looked at, is he liar, legend, lunatic, or Lord? What do you say? Who do you say that he is? What do you say that he is? Liar, lunatic, legend, Lord, is he crazy or is he the Christ? Is he insane or is he your Savior? And guys, in this season of Christmas, we get an opportunity to sit with this amazing, miraculous story of Jesus and be reminded that our Savior has come, that our hope has come. And it matters what you think of this God-man, Jesus. It matters how you will live your life afterwards, not just during Christmas, but if you believe he is your Lord, will that affect the way that you live your life? It should. It should mine. It should you as students. It should all of the leaders in here. Is he liar, lunatic, or Lord? The Bible says he's God. I call him my Lord and Savior. And I worship him as that. Guys, you know the story of Christmas, but do you know this baby in the manger personally? Don't go through Christmas this year excited just about candy canes and presents under a tree. The greatest gift God ever gave you is his son, Jesus. And there are people in here who have heard that all semester, maybe even for 3 years, maybe your entire life, and you've never really believed it. If you know it, it doesn't matter. You have to know him. It is not information. It is submitting before a great and holy God who loves you. So guys, if you hear nothing else today, I hope you know God is crazy about you. He's not crazy. He is the Christ, and he loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. And if you're in here and you're going, yeah, great, I know that, I've heard it, then worship and glory in the fact that God has come. He is here. He loves you. But we get numb to the fact that Jesus is with us, that God is with us, that the Spirit of God can dwell in us and with us all day. We just go, yeah, I heard that. Guys, take the time to look at the scriptures for yourself, not just believe me or believe what anybody says, and read it and see who God is in the form of his son, Jesus. Guys, this is a great, coming up this next year is a great time to do that. You heard Sean Adele talk about the journey. This last year in the journey was tough. We went through the whole Bible. Anybody do it? You guys stick with the journey? Way to go. Man, round of applause for you guys for doing that. That's amazing. Unbelievable. This next year, it's going to be a lot more easy to digest. We're going through the Gospels, okay? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so every week, you're going to get an opportunity to see Jesus up close and personal, who he is, what he said. And so I want to challenge you to do it. Guys, if you're here and you're lonely, you're hurting, you're broken, you're looking for hope, you need to know that he's come. And his name's Jesus. And we sang of him earlier. And as we end, we're going to sing of him again. We're going to close singing a cappella, O Come, Emmanuel. This child, this long-awaited king, he has come to us, and we're going to worship him together. So you guys stand with me. The band's not going to be here. We're just going to sing our voices. The words will be on screen if you don't remember it. And I'm going to ask you guys, after we sing this, just to leave out of here silently, okay? You can head out there and talk in the lobby, but as we go, reflect on these words that God is here. And I pray that you know him. Will you sing it with me? O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. One more time, rejoice, rejoice, just your voices. Here we go. Rejoice. God, thank you that you dwell with us. Thank you that we can glory in your name, Emmanuel, that you have sent Jesus the Christ to redeem the world. That God, in other songs, we can proclaim that you were pleased, just as we were pleased, with man to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. So Lord, thank you for this season that we can stop and listen to your word again and be reminded of how great you are, and may we have the boldness to tell others. And Lord, if there are people in here who do not know you, I pray that they would come to know you. I pray that today they would talk to a friend or their leader or come up here and talk to us, so that today could be the day where they get to walk with God and dwell with you forever in eternity. Lord, thank you that you came as one of us, as a child, humbly in a manger, as a lamb, you lived to die. But Lord, thank you too that we wait for you to come again, Emmanuel, to bring us home as a lion, to get rid of all evil in the world so that we can dwell with you forever. We are thankful for you, Lord. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.